Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm still Sarah LaDuke here with Sean Stone to learn what's coming up on area stages and screens and what you've seen lately. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Sarah.
You've seen two of the big seasonal films.
Yeah, let's start with the one you also saw.
Alrighty.
Knives Out.
Loved it.
Rian Johnson's sort of Agatha Christie-esque family murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It has a fabulous cast, and it's really well done. You really don't see everything coming.
Yeah.
We can't even really talk about a lot that happens in the movie because it's so full of twists and turns and surprises.
And we don't want to give anything away.
No. Daniel Craig is the... I don't even want to say his character's name because it's so funny. It's
when he first says it, yeah.
When he first says it, he's like the Hercule Poirot of the picture. He's Southern, and he's very good playing Southern.
He is.
And he's very funny, and Lakeith Stanfield is in it, and Jamie Lee Curtis, and Toni Collette, who is just makes me happy.
Yeah, she's so good. The character is... annoying, and she's so good at it.
Yeah, there's this
Christopher Plummer's the patriarch who is murdered. That's not a spoiler. That's the
and
movie.
Chris Evans gets to be a snot after having been noble as Captain America for all these years. He gets to be obnoxious.
And Don Johnson
gets to be Don Johnson.
And Michael Shannon. It's impossible to remember them all.
Exactly,
it's very good.
It goes on and on and on. And it's very entertaining, and you get right up. And the last shot of the movie is so good. I saw it with a pretty good-sized audience, and everyone just broke out laughing.
Yeah. It was one of those movies people clapped at the end because they liked it so much. Because I went on a Saturday night, which isn't my typical movie night, but it was a very full house, and people loved it.
And one thing I liked which speaks to Daniel Craig's performance, one of the fun things about Albert Finney's performance as Poirot in Murder on the Orient Express is when he has that scene at the end where he has to explain the crime. He's angry, and he's angry at himself for not figuring it out earlier. He's angry because he thinks murder is terrible. And Daniel Craig is really angry at the end of this movie. He's so angry that he didn't figure out what happened earlier, that he's sort of been... There are times in the movie where you can tell he's sort of like on autopilot, and he thinks he's figuring it out.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's so angry that he didn't, that he's just... When he goes after the perpetrator, it's enormously entertaining.
It's very, very good. Big crazy house they're all in for most of the film, and it's excellent. Knives Out is in theaters now, and you also have seen The Irishman, which I've not watched yet.
Yeah, so Martin Scorsese's 3.5-hour epic about the mob and Jimmy Hoffa, and it's elegiac, and it's profound, and it's sad in ways you don't expect, and it's a complete reversal of expectations from what you think of as the Scorsese gangster picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I never thought I would see a 3.5-hour movie in which Joe Pesci underplays the entire part.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's not. This is the opposite of like The Casino, Goodfellas, or even like JFK or something where he's like over the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact opposite. He's underplaying the whole way through, and it's spooky. He's really the best performance in the movie, but it gets you back into the politics of the 60s, and it just shows how sad and miserable mob life is. It's not a joyful experience, but it will get to you.
The film The Irishman is in theaters and on Netflix, but you advise people watch it all the way through. Watch it all the way through.
Don't chop it up. And I know Netflix has suggested breaking it up into four parts. They should just shut up.
All right. And we have a lot of events upcoming this time of year. There's a lot of stuff this weekend.
Yeah, tonight at the Palace Theater in Albany at 7 o'clock, it's Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. I have not seen their Nutcracker. I have seen their Swan Lake. And they're a very impressive touring company with a lot of fabulous costumes and sets. And it's an experience, and it's worth checking out.
Moscow Ballet's Nutcracker. Tonight, the Palace tonight.
Yeah. And tonight at Helsinki Hudson & Hudson, it's at 8 o'clock. It's Ann Heaton and Natalia Zuckerman, singer-songwriter performers. They both have new projects, so they're going to be performing some from each.
Yep.
You know?
I had an interview with them on earlier this week. It's a multimedia, and they're both wonderful. So, yeah. It's mostly songs and stories, and then they have a little bit, there's a slightly visual element, but it'll be cool.
Friday night at the 8th Step at Proctor's, which is in the GE Theater this time. It's Lunasa, the Irish traditional music group. It's their Christmas from Ireland. Saturday night at Mass Mocha in Club B10, you can warm up with Del Sonido, which is a Colombian. They're all from Colombia, but they're based in Brooklyn, and it's dance, electronic, fun.
Sounds good. That's at Mass Mocha on Saturday.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock in the Hangar on the Hudson in Troy, it's Bill Kirchen's Honky Tonk Holiday. He's a legendary rockabilly guitarist. So this is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And as the music we heard coming in, the Welsh indie rock band The Joy Formidable are going to be at the Hollow Bar and Kitchen in Albany Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Also Saturday night at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, it's going to be the John Pizzarelli Big Band. Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, pianist Roman Rabinovich will be at the Union College Memorial Chapel in Schenectady performing music of Stravinsky, Gershwin, Debussy, Satie, and more. Monday night at the Palace Theater in Albany, they're showing Laurel and Hardy's March of the Wooden Soldiers. That's at 7 o'clock, which I see I neglected to put on here.
7 o'clock, got it.
And Tuesday, this is a Christmassy thing, it seems like. There's wonderful music at noon, free concerts at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. It's going to be the Bleecker Consort. They're going to be performing medieval and Renaissance music. That's Tuesday at noon. And as we all stare at the countdown clock until Star Wars opens, there's some new movies this weekend. There's the PFOA thriller Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo and Tim Robbins and Bill Camp. It looks like a good cast.
Victor Garber, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
In a thankless wife role, I'll just say it.
It is. It's like every great actress gets stuck once playing the thankless wife role.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Sissy Spacek and JFK is the classic. It's like, okay. Well, anyway.
Dark Waters.
Dark Waters.
It's getting great reviews.
It is. Then there's Waves, which is I read the plot on Wikipedia. It's a wrenching African American family drama.
Mm-hmm. Sterling K. Brown stars.
Yes,
the father.
And if you like This Is Us, you'll like this. And there's Playmobil the movie, which is some sort of kid thing. I'm sure Playmobil is some sort of branded product.
It's toys, yes.
That I'm not aware.
Figures that look.
Is that the Fisher Price thing? No.
No.
No. Okay.
Fisher Price is the like peg people.
Oh right.
Playmobil.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Daniel Radcliffe is like a spy toy. I watched the trailer.
Ah.
Because you sent this. And I was like, well, I've not heard of that. It doesn't look as good to me as Lego Movie, but it isn't made for me either.
No. That's what I assume. It's not my audience.
It's for children.
Right.
So they'll like it.
Exactly. So grandparents, this is something you might want to take your grandkids to.
Playmobil the movie. Sean's list of upcoming events and the films we discussed are posted online at wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you, Sean. We'll see you next week, I think.
You're welcome.